Oh, that's right. 4:07 in the afternoon, right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Beautiful, beautiful sunny day. It's hard to believe that a week ago we were getting snowed under here in Greenwood. But today we have a very special guest. Dr. Diane J. Pitts is with us. She is currently the annual giving chairman for the State of South Carolina Foundation, which is through the Lions Club. So, Diane, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day.
It's certainly a lot better than last week. Of course, you're kind of, you were born in Iowa, raised in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So I guess you've had some bad weather over the years.
Well, yes, but then you really do prepare for it a little more in Iowa than we do in South Carolina.
That's true. That's true. I'm originally from Maine, and of course, snow, who cares? Snow, we're going out anyways, but you have different type of tires and the roads and how they prepare them and everything. It's totally different.
And we dress differently. When I taught in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the rule was if it was above single digits, we were going out for recess. So just dress appropriately.
Well, if you're from that area, how did you end up down here in Greenwood?
Well, I just wandered around a little. No, I came. I came to
had a knot on your head and ended up here, right?
Came to Newberry College. Grew up in the Lutheran Church, and from the time I was in the youth group, we had special conventions and stuff over here on this side of the mountains. And I had gone to a high school that was, oh, I believe it was larger than Newberry College. My graduating class was like 550 folks. But for me to come to a small community college, a nice basis, I was just very excited. And growing up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, nothing was older than 1941. So I was enchanted by walking the streets of Newberry to see the historic homes and the historic buildings.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Now, when you were growing up, what did you want to become?
Well, I always wanted to be a teacher. My grandmother in Iowa was a teacher. She went state from high school, like her junior year, and took the teacher's exam and passed it well enough to get her teacher's certificate, and she immediately went to teaching. She was an orphan who was raised by her grandparents, and the one-room school she described to me could have been on Little House on the Prairie.
How about that? You said she was actually your idol.
She was. She was an amazing woman. Still, she lived into her 90s, but I remember at 82, she and my aunt decided to take an upholstery course, and she was reupholstering chairs in her house. And I thought, if I could come with that energy and that excitement to life all the way through, then that's what I would love to do.
Yeah, and you know, people that do keep learning, they do have more excitement in their life, don't they?
It is. Lifelong learning. It is a real thing.
It is. In fact, we just now have the Lakeland's Lifelong Learning Network right here in Greenwood. That's right. It's Lander University, Piedmont Tech, and Wesley Commons have come together and formed that. So that's really neat. So you spent your life teaching.
Yes.
Yes. What was the best part of teaching?
I think the best part of teaching was the joy in the children. I taught college and I taught night school with adults, but for me it was the kids. So even though a lot of people, when they go and get a doctorate, they go to college or higher ed, I didn't want that. I retired out of the fifth grade classroom, and I was a very happy fifth grade teacher.
Now, how long have you been retired?
Oh, about 7 years.
About 7 years. What do you think about the state of education now? You can talk. I mean, nobody's listening. Really? Is there anybody listening?
It has become more difficult. In the pursuit of trying to get the best quality education for everyone, they have really tied the teacher's hands in some cases to what and how creative they can be in the classroom, and that's a shame.
It is a shame. We had a guest on from England this morning, Michael Jex. He's actually a author, and he's speaking over at Lander this afternoon, in fact, at 4:30. But he was talking about how boring and how hard school was because they had, although we call it the core foundation here of principles for teaching, they called it something else. But he said where everybody and everything had to be trained on the same. And he goes, it was disastrous.
People are not the same. That's the bottom line. People don't learn the same. They're not the same. So you really need to tailor to everyone, and some people need to experience the verbal, where others need to get up and move and have hands on. And as I said, many of our schools aren't able to adjust to that for the individual.
Yeah, and that's so it'll be interesting to see how this all shapes up with what's going to happen with those core principles. But you work with the Lions Club now. Now, how did you get involved in the Lions Club?
I was teaching sixth grade at Brewer Intermediate School, and I was approached.
The old Brewer, I guess.
The old Brewer on Cambridge Avenue.
Yeah.
And I was approached to be trained in a Quest program. So while I was there, I got to take several groups of kids through this curriculum, which had everything. It was called Skills for Adolescence. It is now all the rights, and it's owned by the Lions Club. So my training was actually paid for by the Greenwood Lions. But it had decision-making module. It had anger management. It had empowerment for community action, so that you had empathy for what the needs of other people in your area were. It was just a very, very dynamic program, and it is still around. Unfortunately, in many cases, the school districts have kind of pushed it out, trying to get to the required curriculum as it's set up by the state. But what they're finding is if you empower kids with this type of curriculum, it cuts down behavior referrals, it improves grade point ratio. It's just good. It reduces absenteeism. They've got a lot of statistics on it. But the reality is, if you give the kids some ownership and decision making, they become more involved, and ownership always comes out with better results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's very interesting. Now, how did the Lions Club get into a curriculum, this Quest curriculum?
Well, now there's a good question. A lot of times we kind of laugh in the Lions, because most people look at us, and when I wear my Lions regalia and pins, they say to me, first of all, you're a lion, because, of course, there were no women in Lions for a long time. Lions is approaching its 100th birthday within 5 years.
Wow.
But they have, their first thrust is always vision and conservation of sight. That stems from 1925, when Helen Keller spoke at an international convention and asked the Lions to be Knights of the Blind. So often you'll see Lions will collect, use eyeglasses, do eye exams, help pay for eye surgeries, help with eye research, like at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. But they also have youth programs and international youth programs, and they have one of our fastest growing programs in the state of South Carolina is our hearing aid program. There's a lot more going on out there than just glasses.
Right, and I think that's a very interesting part of the Lions, but there's Lions and Lioness and Cubs, right? I mean, they still have all these different divisions?
The Lioness has kind of gone away. There are still a few Lioness clubs. They will not pull their charters, but they're no longer chartering Lioness clubs, because now the women can be Lions. So that's kind of fading where we are. There is a Leo club, mm-hmm. which is in the United States is primarily Alpha Leos, which are middle school and high school kids that get together and work on service projects. In Europe, and actually we just chartered one at USC Aiken last week, there are also Omega Leo clubs, which are from the age of 18 to 30, because in some parts of the world, you don't really join Lions until you are well established in your business career and
so
in the
you can
community.
Give back, right?
Yeah. So the Leos stay Leos longer and work from a young point of view before they actually go into Lions.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, the Lions is an organization you always hear a lot about, but you don't always know a lot about what they actually do. You always know about the eyeglasses, I think. Everybody has given a pair of eyeglasses, dropped them in a bin. But you don't know about the other aspects of it. And one of the things that I think is really exciting that we're going to talk about after we come back from the break is this new piece of equipment that Greenwood has bought right here and is using it. You don't have to be able to tell them what you can see. And I think that is phenomenal. Well overdue. Something that's really been needed out there. So we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold! More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I am talking to Diane J. Pitts. She is also in her many list of things of keeping busy. Do you find that you're busier now that you have retired, or were you busier before you retired? Or have you just substituted from...
Stay on the road a lot, and we're pretty busy, but we love it. Busy is good. We have our downtime, but busy is good.
Well, so many retired people say they're busier now than when they were actually working for a living.
But I was in Lyons when I was working, so I worked during the day and Lyons at night.
And you were Lyons at night. Okay! Okay, but Diane also is an active member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. She's co-director of the Soup Kitchen, and she loves to travel, and she's a Mahjong player. How is the Mahjong playing here these days?
Well, you know, we have several groups in town that play. I play with a group that plays at Hunter's Creek. Right now I'm having a little bit of a scheduling problem because of the Soup Kitchen. We have a new activity that's come up that's blocking me some Mondays instead of playing. But we also have a Chapel's Mahjong group that plays once a week. I was so excited to find someone who played. I had gone to China and I had bought a Chinese Mahjong set in the market, and I was very excited to learn how, but I really didn't know how. And on the trip, there were some girls from New York, and they were trying to teach me how. But the Chinese sets don't have any jokers, and if you are a Mahjong player, you understand that's like an almost impossible situation. So it was wonderful to get back and to be able to find out how to play and to find some people in the community. It's the thing I do for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mahjong, isn't it very addictive?
Well, you know, it is kind of. Now, but I have to tell you, if you're a member of the Mahjong League out of New York, it's not quite the same as the matching game that a lot of folks play on their iPhones and tablets, because that's much more matching. I would say it probably approaches a more of a card game set that you play, and every year the card changes, so the hands you have to get changed too.
Wow. Well, I know Chinese women, you know, they used to play for hours and hours and hours. So I don't actually know how to play, but I do know that. But now you work with the Soup Kitchen, or a division of this? Is the Emmanuel Church have a division of the Soup Kitchen?
Well, no, I actually work with the Soup Kitchen. Probably once a month you'll find myself and my husband in charge of the Soup Kitchen. I now can whip up a meal for 200 fairly easily. We have wonderful volunteers, not just from our church, but from other churches in the city and individuals. And it's a big, big team effort. We usually prepare 150 to 200 meals a Sunday. In 2012, we served just under 10,000 meals on one day a week, on Sunday only. But it also comes in with knowing DHEC regulations, because we're DHEC certified, and writing grants, and understanding Golden Harvest, and filing reports, and filing a report with DSS, because we have children under 18 who eat from our kitchen. And it's much more involved than just cooking a meal and serving it, like in the old days
dinner. Right. Well, I mean, the Soup Kitchen here in Greenwood, so you do it on Sunday.
Yes.
And then 6 days a week, our Soup Kitchen there.
That's right. We're a complement to the Soup Kitchen because they only are open 6 days a week. And we wanted to make sure that there was always a place every day for someone to get a meal.
Well, it's tremendous. And what the Soup Kitchen, your Soup Kitchen, what it does for our community is so far reaching, so far reaching. So we applaud you and thank you and your church for taking on the mission of doing this. That is terrific. So when we talk about the Lyons Club, we were talking about how little people actually know about the different clubs, whether it's Rotary, the Lyons Club, Sertoma. I mean, there's all these groups out here working and doing great service to our community. And you just wonder, if you took those services away, How would our community fare?
I think you would be amazed to find that what the deficit would be. And certainly all these service organizations are not competing. You could have every service organization operating at an optimum level, and you would still have people fall between the cracks. So, like you said, Rotary is trying to eradicate polio worldwide. We're on a big push in partnership. We, the Lions, are on a big push in partnership with the Gates Foundation now, trying to eradicate measles, because measles is still in third world countries a big killer, and often is a direct cause of blindness from children. And so, you know, if everybody works on a little corner, it just makes the world a better place to be.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's what I mean. And yet, you know, we know of these clubs, but we don't know all the different aspects of the things they do. So not only do you work with blindness, but with hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and,
ma'am.
And what other aspects do y'all concentrate on? You just said you're partnering with the Gates Foundation on measles.
Yeah. We also have a section on disasters and disaster relief, and wherever it is, because Lions are in more than 200 countries, in more countries than are in the UN, we have feet and hands on the ground when there's a disaster, and they have disaster grants that can be given to the district governor in an area within 24 hours. So it's not like, well, you have to wait for the container to be filled up here and then you have to wait for it to be shipped over and distributed. The money and goods are released immediately, and we've got folks on the ground almost everywhere to help with that. So like in Superstorm Sandy, the Lions of Northeast Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina got together and bought an 18-wheeler full of, well, they didn't buy the 18-wheeler, bought a truck full of generators. And we actually had a Lion who ran a trucking company, and he got it trucked up there, and it went to Lions in the New York area, New York, New Jersey area, who then made sure they were given to places that would benefit more than one family. So into centers and evacuation, you know, they were,
you know,
just,
that's the
there.
Type of stuff you don't even hear about, yeah. Is it? You know, and yet that is such a service, and the ability to react quickly in a disaster is most important. Yeah. That's phenomenal.
And we've benefited too here. A few years ago, when they had the forest fire out by Myrtle Beach, there are some guidelines, like if more than 75 people are affected, there's a disaster grant that comes through, and there was a disaster grant for South Carolina for that.
Wow, that is tremendous. So all people working together, that's what it's all about. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about, we only have a couple minutes here, is the Quest program for the fifth, sixth graders in that age group. I'm very curious. Anger management, you said, was part of it. Now, some of it I understand, but anger management for our middle schoolers?
I'm sure the parents understand. Okay, but, you know, they have some wonderful activities where the kids talk about what they do when the last straw hits the camel's back. And then the kids process that of, okay, if you do this and you do this, what gets you in more trouble than you were in the first place? What could you have done instead? And kids actually can help each other. I had one girl, I remember, her solution when she just could not take any more was to run. It's often a physical exertion helps. Shooting baskets, running, whatever. Putting your earphones on and listening to your music, crying, hitting a pillow as opposed to throwing something and breaking something.
Exactly.
Or hitting your little brother, or, you know.
Sure.
But there are a lot of ways that kids can help kids. And we even gave, I think, trained them in some skills where they could be better listeners. Mm-hmm. For their friends, because at that age, adolescents are going to talk more to their friends than to adults.
Absolutely. Well, that is tremendous. That sounds like something that should be there for everybody.
It's a great program.
Sounds like it. Hey, it's time for South Carolina Radio News and a word from our sponsors. We are here with Dr. Diane Pitts with the Lions Club. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest today, Dr. Diane J. Pitts. She is currently the annual giving chairman for the State of South Carolina Foundation with the Lions. So you take care of the money that funds the van. Now, what exactly? We're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about this fantastic new machine that can check eyes without having to eye test. But what is the van? You have a van also. Doesn't it come out of Greenville?
No, it actually comes out of Columbia. We have a mobile health screening unit. I believe it's about a 40-foot pull behind with a big truck to pull it. And we usually use this mostly at schools, but sometimes at factories and other places. It can screen for vision, it can screen for hearing, blood pressure. So it is a much more comprehensive screening that we're able to offer. Of course, our first thrust is always sight conservation, but because diabetes and blood pressure have so much to do with that, and we're seeing the incidence of that at a much greater rate in younger and younger people, it's all part of one health package.
Sure. So you go around to schools, and they bring it all across the state? They have one van or
they
one?
They do. We do. We have it all across the state. We do have some smaller vans that are scheduled by individual clubs that have purchased equipment with the puffer to check for glaucoma and the other vision screening materials, but if the most comprehensive one we have that's housed in one unit is scheduled out of Columbia, where our state office is.
Wow. And they go around to schools, and they provide invaluable service, because these are things that I actually used to get some of these things in school as part of a regular part of going to school.
They certainly do. And actually, because we are able to offer this service, we have an agreement with the School Nurses Association of South Carolina. So I think it works in an optimal way. When we're in Greenwood, we go to a middle school. It's usually seventh grade we're screening there. And the day I worked, I volunteered this last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had student nurses there helping to take the blood pressure, so that's good hands-on experience for them. We had school nurses there. Sometimes they have nurses from the Lander area as well as Piedmont Tech. And everybody's getting hands-on experience. They're able to kind of give little mini health talks to the kids. And it's just a well-run machine. And I will say for this, it is Phyllis Zolke, who is our chairperson of that, who schedules that and gets all the volunteers up for that and gets those dates cleared with the school and the health screening unit scheduled.
Well, and they do find so many things that were going undetected.
We have about a 18% to 20% referral rate, either on health or on vision, when the kids come through the van.
18% to 20%.
Yeah.
Wow. And does Lions Club help with getting them to referrals? Or?
Well, yes, but when we do them at the school nurses take the lead. So whatever results are found are printed off with two copies, one that goes in the health file in the nurse's office and kept there, and one that is sent home to the parents. And then the school nurses actually do the follow-up on that.
Wow. Okay. And so this is a phenomenal service, really makes a difference. That has been a big boon to our community because, I think the other thing, the obesity that we're seeing in our school children is just something that really needs to be addressed. And I'm sure with this program, they're addressing that too.
Yeah, certainly. There are lots of initiatives out there to get children moving more.
Sure, and to address it. Now, you wouldn't think that young kids would have blood pressure problems, though, would you?
Well, they do.
I'm serious. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you wouldn't.
You usually think of 50 and above, but truly today we have more and more kids that are having blood pressure problems. And because that's not a typical thing to screen for in school, it's an excellent it's an excellent program when we screen to catch some of those that might be missed otherwise and some damage occur.
Wow. Okay, well, the other thing we want to talk about is this fantastic new Pedia Vision camera box. Is it a box?
It's called a spot camera.
Yeah.
S-P-O-T.
And tell us about that.
Well, this is so exciting for us because in the past there have been certain grade levels that have been screened, but usually you needed someone who was verbal, literate enough to either read the letters to you or to tell you which way the E is pointing, if you remember that old test. The great thing about this new camera is that if you catch a child's attention for just a moment, or an adult's really, the camera diagnoses 6 eye conditions, and it's that fast. There is no human error. It's not like somebody sitting across from you and saying, read the 6th line, and if that person can't hear you or if you mumble,
right,
and we misunderstand what you're saying, there might be an inaccuracy in the screening. With the spot camera, the test is done immediately. The results are there. Boom. And I have to tell you, our first public screening was at the Hodges Elementary School and at one grade level. And it was a dual purpose. We were going to screen second graders and we were also going to train lions.
That's right.
So we had lions there from 3 different clubs, as well as school nurses and the school superintendent drop by. We had a lot of folks come through. But the reality is that this is so accurate. Our first person screened was a local ophthalmologist.
Okay.
And if you wear glasses, you can be screened with your glasses on. And, of course, I look at the printout, and I don't quite understand. I need a professional to kind of tell me what the numbers mean. But he looked at it, and he said, this is great. It not only tells me my eyes, but it also tells me the current lenses I'm wearing are the proper prescription for now.
Wow.
So he was very impressed. When an eye care professional is that impressed, I can put my faith behind this camera. But the better part of it is that because the earlier you catch certain eye conditions, the more sight you may be able to conserve for a child. You can screen children as young as 6 months old with a spot camera, as well as you can screen children that are nonverbal. One of our recent screenings was at what I'm going to call the Old East End. I believe it's the Child Development Center of District 50 now. And there were some special needs students that were able to be screened. So, again, if you can grab their attention, the camera is that fast, taking the picture, doing the diagnosis, the printout's ready. The other thing is that with HIPAA concerns, we don't handle any of that. The school nurses come with a thumb drive, and they load on the information. We take the pictures with the kids. The information is taken right off the camera. It's stripped off. It's bare when we leave. So there's no personal information that goes out of the hands it's supposed to be in.
Well, that is phenomenal. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how much a camera like this costs. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the Seafood Fest that's coming up this Saturday. So you got to stay right with us right here on WCRS. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. And if you have a question for Diane, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us, 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with Dr. Diane Pitts, and we are talking lions today. And we're talking about this Pedia Vision camera that literally can take a picture. You know, when you think about all the kids that have grown up in the past and had no idea really till maybe they were an adult that they got glasses and this type of thing, and to have this type of program so early, it really is phenomenal.
It really is. we met a child. The parent brought the child to an Aiken Lions Club meeting, and the child, they had realized the child was going to have vision problems from birth. But they were told that they would not do surgery until the child was several years old, and so they kind of backed off things. The child's now been going to Atlanta, mm-hmm. Emory, and actually they lost a threshold where they could have. She's already lost sight in one eye, and they could have saved it, but they didn't diagnose exactly what the eye problem was. It was a little too general and vague. And that's what we would like to prevent. We would like to conserve sight for everybody we can. To eradicate preventable blindness would be.
You know, we don't even really think about blindness as much. Sighted people, myself included, we don't think about blindness as something that we deal with. You don't just deal with it that much.
Yeah, well, and that's really sad, because our state, we can really be proud. We have a Federation of the Blind organization, mm-hmm. in this state.
Yes.
And they pull as many people to their state convention as the Lions do. They are very active. They have the Lions, and they do some things together, including blind fishing tournaments and stuff, because you lose a lot of independence when you lose your sight. And,
sure.
And they want to do everything everybody else does. So you've got to remember, there are people that if you just reach out, you could help them a great deal. You could improve their lives.
And that is awesome. But that's what I'm saying. You get, if you're not in a group or something where you see a person, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
And that is, but that's the same thing with hearing, except I deal with Jeff every day on his hearing issues. That's my husband, in case you didn't know. Okay. But let's talk a little bit about this camera. How much does it cost?
Okay, the camera itself costs between $7,000 and $8,000, but of course it doesn't work independently. It needs some materials to go with it. It also needs a printer to go with it, and a laptop to operate it, to move information in and out of it. So the whole setup is about $8,500.
Wow. And now Greenwood bought one?
I have to tell you, we are so proud. The first ones that were bought in this state were actually bought in Spartanburg, and money was raised, and there was a matching grant from Lions Clubs International. And when we saw what it could do, we had somebody from up there bring it down and do a demonstration. We knew that we wanted one for Greenwood County. So we started about raising money. Now, I've got to compliment that we had a grant from the Greenwood County Foundation,
right,
for part of the money, and we had a great outpouring from personal donations, and it was capped off with a just overwhelming hot dog supper at St. Mark's last spring that had a lot of you in the community standing out the door, but you were very patient and good, and we went over our goal. But please know, with that camera, we have to have the supplies for that camera. We have to insure that camera.
Sure.
Because it's going to be carried around a lot. And anything we had above the original cost will go for those things.
That is phenomenal. That is just terrific. So in the state of South Carolina, how many cameras are there?
Right this skinny minute, I only think there are 3 or 4 of these cameras. I'm not sure if the medical university owns any of these. We did see demonstrations down there at MUSC as well. However, I will tell you that if things go according to plan, by the end of 2014, I think we will have as many as 10 to 12 of these cameras in the state, right, out in different areas screening. And not just school children, but more importantly, preschool children and daycare children. Again, the earlier we can catch a deficit in sight, the earlier intervention can be there and more sight that can be saved.
Wow. This is phenomenal. And when you really look at it, $8,000 is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money when you see what it can do.
How much would you pay for your sight?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the newest thing that is going on. Now, how long has this camera been out there in the
Well, there were some forerunners for this camera, but they did not have the accuracy of the spot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there were some forerunners of it that have been out there maybe 4 years. This one has been out about, I believe it's a year and a half to 2 years. And as soon as it hit the market, we saw, again, the first time I saw it operated was at the Medical University at the Storm Eye Center there. It's now it is available, and they're working kinks out of it, and we're novices can run it. It's very simple.
That's a good thing.
If you can just point it and it makes a little chirping noise, I think it sounds like a bird, but the kids look up at you and that's it. You've got them.
Wow.
It's that simple. It is wonderful.
Wow. That is phenomenal. And right here in Greenwood, one of the first in the state.
Yes.
I mean, that is pretty awesome. You know, that's what I always say about Greenwood. We're such a giving community.
Truly.
And when there's a need, when something needs to happen, it always happens right here in Greenwood. Now, of course, one of the other things we wanted to get to here today is the Seafood Fest that is coming up this Saturday. Now, it used to be called the Shrimp Fest. So if we lax into Shrimp Fest, but it's now the Seafood Fest. So what are they going to be serving at the Seafood Fest, Diane?
Well, they will still have shrimp. Don't worry about that. They'll have boiled shrimp. I almost feel like the movie. They'll have boiled shrimp, and they'll have fried shrimp, and they'll have shrimp Creole. But they will also have fried clams and fried fish fillets, and they will also have chicken, and they'll have sides and drinks and desserts. So just everything you could want. This is a joint project of the American Legion and the Greenwood Lions Club.
Absolutely. Now, where can people, and the tickets are $25, but you wanted
all
to make
you can eat.
All you can eat, that's right. And is there a price for children? Yes, $10 for children 10 and under. And in the latest Money Pages, that's right, there's a plug here for Money Pages, you can get a $5 off ticket with the ad. So
yes,
that
right
is
inside the front cover.
That's right. So you want to save some money, open up your Money Pages and get your coupon right there. Now, you can get tickets, I presume, at the door.
Oh, yes, of
yeah,
course.
Of course. That's right. And it's going to be going on from 4 to 8, but you this Saturday at the American Legion, or right there, right very close by. You know where it's at. So, and where can you also get tickets?
Okay, you should be able to purchase tickets from any Lion, or you can go by the American Legion Post 20 building, T.W. Boone's, Howard's on Main, H.H. Turner's, Thayer's, David Lindsay's, Godfrey's and Hodges, or Quick Copies. All of these places have tickets for you.
That's right. So, you know, it really is a lot of fun. Trey Ward is going to be playing, and I, having been many times, I think it's great fellowship. You get to see a lot of people. You get to eat more than you can eat. Once you sit down, people will be right there. Do you need something else? They are so attentive. And it really is a great time. So I certainly hope you're going to put this on your calendar for this Saturday from 4 to 8. You can also call 223-3142. That's 223-3142 for tickets. Don't forget, get your $5 off in the Money Pages. But what does the money go for?
Okay, well,
should we even use this coupon or not? Because the money goes for good things, doesn't it?
It really does go for good things. And, of course, anytime you see your Lions out, whether we're selling brooms or we'll have a pancake breakfast coming up at Fats and all those things, we're raising money for good things. Some of our money goes to South Carolina Lions Charitable Services. This is a shared service arm for all the Lions of the state that helps fund eye surgeries. Many of our local clubs cannot afford to underwrite a surgery for someone, but if you are qualified, we can help you with that. Last year we did over 100 surgeries. We've already done 67 this year. Now this year,
and this is just February.
No, this our year is July 1 to June 30.
Okay.
So, but we are on schedule to go over 125 this year, which will really break anything we've done in the past. Also, out of South Carolina Lions Charitable Services, there are reduced cost hearing aids if you qualify for help there.
Jeff, are you listening?
They also help support. We have two camps for blind children in the state. We have Camp Leo that's in Hilton Head, and we have Camp Lions.
Wow, what a nice place, Hilton Head. All right.
Camp Lions Den that is at the Clemson Environmental
Center. Okay, another great place. Wow, can I go?
So, and there were many other activities that the Lions do, but when we need to pool our money because it is not something one club can pull off, then it usually comes out through South Carolina Lions Charitable Service and the South Carolina Lions Foundation.
Wow. And of course, that's what you work with is the
yes.
foundation. So listen, Diane, this has been absolutely marvelous to sit down and hear more about what the Lions Club does. Don't forget about the Seafood Fest fundraiser this Saturday. Yes, if you give them the whole 25, you'll put it to good use, won't you?
Oh, we will, and we may even have a donation jar there. You never know.
Okay. All right, but you're going to go out and have a good time. They have good music, good food, and good times. So why not put that on the calendar for this Saturday? $25 for adults, $10 for children. Yes, you can get a coupon out of Money Pages. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Diane, thanks so much for coming out today.
It's been a pleasure. Pleasure.
Thank you very much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.